Welcome back to Frank on Target, your haven from the commercial break jungle. We know those ads can be quite the adventure, but now it's time to return to our own wilderness of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors.
Killing is what I do to when I have armadillos in the yard.
That's what I was going to say.
I kill them. All right. And when it's killing, it's not hunting, I shoot them with a 22 pistol because that's the quickest thing to get around and it's quick. And I throw a suppressor on it because I don't want the neighbors, you know, I mean, even though I don't have neighbors on top of me, if they're, you know, a couple hundred yards away, I'll be getting phone calls. Everything okay over there? Yeah, right. So anyway, I'll dump two or three shots in them when if they're running, and they're not running fast, but I'm slow. I'm like this, pop, 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 until it stops or slows down, and then when it slows down, it's pop, 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 you know. So that's what I could imagine happened with the gators. But with the air gun, you're under a disadvantage because they're single shot, right?
Yeah, you got to cock it and then shoot it again. But it's not a big deal. Me and the other fellow was from JTS, we both shot it twice because we're like, this guy's getting in the boat with us. We're going to make sure it's dead.
Yeah.
So that's something
I'm looking. I got the, what do you call it? I got the Air Gun Hobbyist magazine here. And I see you in a boat with two gators. And you know what I don't see?
What's that?
I don't see their damn mouths taped.
I actually taped their mouth, the first one I killed.
Good idea.
I taped the mouth. I mean, I taped it good. And good. The guide, he slapped me on the arm and he says, get the tape off of there, you wuss.
Really?
So I took the tape off of his mouth. But the whole time, with the second gator, because it rode up on the front of the boat with us, and its head was right by me the whole time. And so I'm telling the guy, I was like, look, Ryan, I really want to trust you. I really, really do. But are you sure this guy's dead?
Well, I don't know about gators. I can tell you about sharks. Mm-mm. All right? I've caught a significant number of sharks. And I used to run charters, and I had a shark. It was a 10-footer. And I'd pull it up on the tower, tail it, pull it up on the tower, and leave the head just above the water, right? And we had a hard and fast rule, no hard liquor on the boat. Just doesn't make my life easy.
Yeah.
If you want to drink beer, you can drink beer, but anyway. So we're coming in, and I don't know about gators, but I can tell you when sharks die. When the sun goes down, you think they're dead? When the sun goes down, that's the only time you can be assured that they're dead. So I'm running in. We got this shark hanging on the tower. His head is above the water, and son of a gun, I hit a swell. And that shark came like this, and it came back into the boat.
Ooh.
And there was a guy sitting on a cooler, like this, with his sitting back with his legs spread. That shark came right in and whacked on that. I turned around. He jumped out of the way, and I'm at the wheel. I grabbed that. I took my hand like this, and I swung him, and swung him back outside the boat. Son of a gun.
Now I need to go air gun hunting for sharks.
Oh, no. Listen, I got to tell you something crazy.
That'd be great.
You know, they got bank sticks for sharks. You either take a rifle cartridge or a shotgun cartridge, and it's a stick. And
yeah, they use them for gators, too.
Yeah, but anyway, I never had one of those. I don't need that. I used to keep a shotgun on the boat, and I never shot one in the water. Never had to. But he used to keep a shotgun on the boat. And one time I had to go over the side, and we're about 15 miles off the beach yet. We had a prop foul that had to go over the side. Two life jackets, you know, one life jacket for yourself, and then the other life jacket, you put your tools on, tie your tools to the life jacket. And I never forget, God rest his soul, Joe Zarcone comes out of the cabin with the shotgun. You want me to watch for sharks? No, I want you to put the damn shotgun away because you're standing on 300 gallons of gasoline. You know? So anyway, I didn't carry a shotgun after that. I went and I took a stainless steel 45, put it in my bug out bag. Nobody sees the pistol and knows it's in there. And if I gotta come out with a shark, at least I got a 45. But yeah.
Now I need to say I'll never go shark hunting because that's how I wound up gator hunting. Because I said I never would, but when you say you never,
shark hunting is a lot of fun. Shark fishing is a lot of fun. Shark fishing will convince you. You've seen the movie Jaws, and
when I was like three.
All right, you know, they can play it again so you can watch it as an adult.
I don't want to. I don't watch that kind of stuff.
But anyway, yeah, they have this thing they call movies. Movies.
Yeah.
You can watch the same thing over and over again. But anyway.
After watching that, when I wasn't three, I was probably like six.
All right.
I didn't want to take a bath. I didn't want nothing to do with water.
Truth of the matter, there were less people, statistically, less people that went in the water after that movie for about the next 5 years.
Of course.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you something.
I didn't, what do you call it? I didn't go over the side. Now, as time went on and we start fishing for sharks, I realized, man, there's days that you get one or two sharks on and maybe you'll lose them. We used to fish shark tournaments, you know, and you know, there's not that many. When you want them, they're not there. All right, so there's not that many sharks out there. They really don't pose a danger. So then I'd go in the water again when I realized that this is going on. But there's a lot of sharks out there. Not here so much. In Jersey, we had a lot more sharks.
And so once you caught one and you were sure it was dead, you brought it in the boat with you, or did it stay
no,
right there?
No, hang it over the side. I had one. I used to hire out, run other people's boats from time to time. If they had a tournament or stuff, and I was doing it down here for what do you call it, for mahi tournaments and stuff like that. But I would, you know, hire out and run a boat for a shark tournament. And it takes a little bit of technique because when you're sharking, you're putting out a slick to attract the sharks to the boat. And you can't, if there's no sharks, you can't move the boat because you just made a slick. You're going to attract them to the place where you weren't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what you got to do is you got to look at the structure, what's on the bottom. The fish are going to run over structure. You got to position the boat. Now you're going to drift. How do you know where you're going to drift? You position the boat, you take the drift in the set, and you determine how the boat is going to drift over the next 8-hour period. Then you reposition the boat over the structure so that you drift over the maximum amount of structure for a period of time. Then you can put your slick out. So you're putting your slick out where you think the sharks are, all right? Because once you start putting your slick out, you can't move the boat no more. All right, so it takes a little bit of doing. And I was telling you this for a reason. Oh, yeah, so anyway, we got a shark tournament. And I hired out on this guy's boat. And this guy was real, I swear to God. And when I really got to know him, I found out what a dirtbag he was. But we brought a juvenile shark, a mako. Had to show them that we produced something. But I brought a juvenile shark on the boat, a mako, that was about 80 pounds, all right? Wasn't a big shark. And I tied him one rope on his tail, because they generally we would hang him off the side of the boat, but these guys were so afraid that we were going to lose the shark if we tied him off on the boat and dragged him in, that I brought him on the boat. So I got him on the deck. I got one tail, the tail tied off to one cleat, and then behind the pectoral fins, I got another rope tied to the other cleat. So he strung out across the back of the boat, in the boat. Now, we get halfway in, and I got a shark tailed and flopping around on the damn deck. The shark ate the damn rope that was tied around the pectoral fence and off to the other cleat. So now I got a shark on the boat flopping around. All right. That was the same day. That was the same day that, well, here we go. We're gonna besmirch the thin blue line. Had an off-duty cop come on the deck with a little snub-nosed revolver. You want me to shoot the shark? No, I don't want you to shoot the shark. This is the guy I told him. You're standing on, this is the same thing I told the other guy. You're standing on 300 gallons of damn gasoline. What are you talking about?
At least he asked you first, yeah. Instead of just
so,
doing it.
So anyway, I cussed him up and down, and he went and put his gun away.
Did you tackle it and slit its throat?
No. I took the gaff, and when he opened his mouth, I stuck the gaff in his mouth, and I strung him out. Now, I took another rope and put it around his neck.
So what's a gaff?
Gaff is a big hook. It's a big hook on a pole.
Okay.
And the diameter is maybe 4 inches. Common diameter is 4-inch gap. So when you get a fish upside the boat, you're not going to net it. You just take the gaff and gaff him. One sweep, gaff up onto the boat. So anyway, I gaffed him in the mouth, and we retied him, and we went back in. But I love fishing with my friends. I really do. My buddy Doc, I'll run the boat for him. I don't touch a fishing rod anymore. No. I got young guys for that. You know, I'll put you on the fish. I'll tell you where. I'll watch you if you troll, and I'll watch you spread. I'll get you fish.
It's one of those things where, I mean, sometimes you can do something so much it becomes like a job.
No, you know, it is. But I still like to fish because I like the challenge. But on the rod, I don't want to.
I've never saltwater fish. I've only freshwater fish.
Well, so I'm going to tell you something. With tuna fishing, we'd catch a dozen 40-pounders, you know, bluefin tuna in a day. You beat the shit. I mean, I was fishing. I was in my early 60s, I guess, and we were fishing yellowfin, and I had a 60-pound yellowfin on, and let me tell you something.
Yeah, I've never fought anything that close to that.
I was done. One fish. Yeah, you know what? That's the one I'm going home with. I'm done.
I've probably gotten maybe a 6-pound fish, and it fought, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that little fish did all that. It's amazing.
I'm going to tell you, it's you amazing. Know, let me tell you the shitty thing. Well, it's not, it's interesting.
Correct.
When you're fighting a tuna, they run. And when they run, you just tighten up the drag and let him run, and you're gonna wear him out. When he stops running, then you could fight him. Pump the rod, reel down on him. Pump the rod, reel down on him. Get him to the boat. Keep him tired. Now, get the fish to the boat. Tuna, what they do is, as they're coming up, they circle. Why are they circling? Because they're trying to reoxygenate themselves. Trying to get water past their lungs to reoxygenate themselves. Man, when they're circling, you gotta keep pressure on that fish and make that circle smaller, 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 less water going past their lungs, less oxygenation, right? You're gonna beat them. If you run out of gas when you got that fish to the boat and he starts making a larger circle, man, you just cut your own throat.
So what's the average time frame it would take for you from hooking the
All depends how big the fish is. All depends on the fish is. I've had them on 10 minutes. A big one. It could be there half an hour. You know? Mm. 10 minutes is about as long as it takes, though. But once they start making a bigger circle and they get oxygenated,
they're not as tired.
No, they'll run again. Mm. They'll run again. You'll have to wear them down again. You have to get them to the boat again. And then it starts all over.
They've got their own strategy. So they're like, this is what you got to do to get off the hook.
You've
got to make that guy in the boat tired. Yeah. More tired than you.
No, that's exactly the case. It's exactly the case. So that's why I don't get on the rod anymore. I'll get you on the fish. That's okay. I'll run the boat. And I see I'm talking a lot. I'm getting hoarse now. When I'm running the boat from the tower, I can't talk the next day. Mm. I can't. The big guys have radios. They have a comm set, all right, between the tower and the deck. And they're talking on radio, so they're not hollering. But I'm hollering back and forth. You got to recognize something. I'm 100 miles off the beach. Somebody gets hurt, I got to make sure that they're safe.
Right.
All right? Fish like to bleed. Like to bleed. Blood on the deck. Blood is slippery. Mm-hmm. You fall and break your leg on the deck. You fall and cut yourself with a knife. I'm screwed. You got to, what do you call it? If it's serious enough, I got to bring a chopper in. No. So I'm hollering. I'm up in the, I'm, what do you call it? That line over there, let that line out, Father, because I can see a pattern. All right? I can see a pattern where all the lines are getting trolled. That one has to come out. Pull this one up because you're going to foul that line, you know, because we're going to turn and stuff like that. Then we got blood on the deck. Hose the damn deck. I mean, you know, keep it clean. Clean is safe. You know, you get slopping up in the deck. That's it. But that's what we do. And it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, that's how I know when sharks die, when the sun goes down. Oh, and they love to eat tuna. They love to eat tuna. You gotta, to really preserve the meat, the mahi, we can just throw on ice, all right? But tuna, you have to bleed, so we keep a bucket. And just put them head down in the bucket, bleed them in the bucket, pull them out of the bucket, hose them off, and then throw them in the hole. But you got to bleed them in the bucket, because if you bleed them on the deck and that blood goes over the side, you got sharks.
Then you're fishing for sharks.
Yeah. So you don't do that. But that's what we do. So, we talked about a whole bunch of stuff other than about gators, but gators like sharks. I think they die when the sun goes down. And Miss Angie, I saw you in that boat, and their little faces weren't taped up. I'm sorry. Tape up their little faces. You know, look at that. John, you see that? Holy shit.
Yeah, I had to choose to trust the guide. He's been doing it for years, and he did a good job. He did a really good job.
Did he give you that thing? Shoot, Angie, shoot! like what? Like swamp people?
No.
Like that. Shoot, Angie, shoot!
Not really. He was the one concerned about us falling up on the deck. I mean, he, just like you were talking about, you up in, yeah. He was giving us direction. He was a good guide. And I did find out the gators have two different eyelids, so I thought like he was looking at me the whole time, but he had their one eyelid is for underwater.
Yeah.
And then it would be open when they're above water. And closed when he's underwater, but it was closed, so that was evident that he was dead. Because if it was open, it would have been. I didn't know that. It just made me nervous. His eyes were looking at me the whole time.
What was that?
That was a 5 and a 0. Nope, that was a 6.
1, 0.
5.
5. hour and 5 minutes. That's good. This is, we're playing like charades. This is pretty good. Oh, man. Well, we ended at alligators. What month was that now?
That was September. September, and then that's when I went, after that, I went to Oklahoma. That's when I killed my first hog with a knife. And
that's why you missed the bulk of the deer season.
Mm-hmm. I actually saw him 3 times, legal shooting hours, and couldn't get a shot on
You're
him.
You're talking the big guy?
Mm-hmm.
You saw him 3 times this year?
Yep. I saw him. One time was early morning. It was legal shooting hours, and I could see him, but I could just see the silhouette.
All right, just for background, Angie and I hunt adjacent pieces of property. And there was one buck. Is it solid 10?
There's actually two.
One was a little smaller.
Not much. There's a really, really nice one, and then there's a really nice one.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I was confusing them. I was actually taking pictures and looking, comparing the pictures, and that's how I knew there was two. And you're right. One, and I was actually having to count tines, you know, to see. But one had a bigger body.
And the mass of the antlers are more. Like, one has bigger mass. And the one that I've seen, I believe, is the lesser one. Yeah. I called him the Wild 9 last year, but he's now a 10. Because his antlers aren't real uniform. They're kind of all over the place. But I'd still love to get him.
Oh, either one of these was beautiful deer.
Yeah.
All right, here. This one. Which one was that? Was that one? I'm showing Angie a picture.
I've not seen that one.
All right.
That one's all yours.
No, he was he was a visitor. Hold on. Oh, you know what I saw this year that I haven't seen before?
What's that?
Gray foxes.
Oh, cool.
Gray foxes. I had shitloads of gray foxes. Yeah, they were. Oh, they're so cute. They are cute as a button. That's the smaller of the two.
Yep.
That's the smaller of the two. I'm looking for the what do you call it, for the big guy.
I don't have any pictures of him on my phone, the bigger one, but I didn't see him very often.
I only saw him in camera. I'm going to tell you something. I give you a whole load of credit for not taking a shot if you didn't have a clean shot at him. Because I actually, when I saw him around, I changed guns. Because I didn't want to take a shot at him with the 243.
Yep.
That's the big guy.
Yep. That's the one I call Wild 9. Whoops.
That's the smaller of the two?
Yes. That the other one has bigger mass on his antlers. That's the one, because you see his antlers are kind of bent in some places. They're not straight. The bigger one, his antlers are straight. And
that's the same one.
That he's losing his velvet in that one. It's hard to tell at that angle. See, one of his antlers has two points coming off. One of the points has two coming off. It's just, one of them's just a small one. But the one with the bigger mass, his antlers are uniform. They're smooth. They're rounded. They're
very far forward.
No, they're just wide.
And I got, well, I'm going to tell you something. There may be three out there.
Maybe.
Because I got one that had a rack that was far forward over his head.
I haven't seen that one.
And seeing them. I mean, once I'm going to tell you, if you don't tag them in September, you're not going to see them.
Well, I shot a doe when I got back from my trip,
mm-hmm.
which was a bad decision. But I hadn't killed anything yet.
What, coming back?
Yeah, no. Well, I didn't get him, so that's good for you. But I decided I was going to get whatever a big doe that came out because I hadn't gotten anything yet. And this big doe comes out and I took her. I shot her with the 7mm.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Siri, hush.
Yeah.
But I shot her with the 7mm 08 and dropped her. No, mine's going to go off.
Yeah.
And dropped her. She didn't kick. She didn't anything. She drew her back legs in and didn't move. That was it. I've never seen that with a deer when I shot a deer before. But I shot her a high shoulder shot, and she was done. But right before dark, here he comes. He comes in and circles around the corn pile. And there were four other deer eating corn while she was laying there dead.
Yes.
There were four other deer just sitting there eating corn. So I thought, I saw him come in, and I was like, okay, he's going to do just like the rest of these deer, I hope. No, he made two circles around the corn pile and took off. And I was so mad at myself for shooting that doe.
I went out. I didn't hunt. I don't go out at daybreak too often. But I went out at daybreak. The problem is that I have to walk past the beds to get to my stand.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I had a six walk. Ten yards across from right to left in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready to take a six. Should have took the son of a gun.
I took one. I took the. It was a decent six. It was probably 4:30 in the afternoon. It was super early. I was messing around with my ATN thermal monocular, just kind of testing it and zooming in, seeing the distances and the different colors. And I turned this way, and I was like, "Oh, there's a deer."
Yeah, I what do you call it? I've been doing that with night vision, not thermal, a night vision monocular. And basically, when it's still legal shooting time, mm-hmm. but you're having trouble seeing with your naked eye, but if you put the scope up, you get a good picture.
Yep.
You know? So that's when I use the monocular, because it's a lot easier than swinging a rifle around.
Oh, yeah. Less movement for the deer to see. Yeah,
absolutely. So.
Yeah, when I saw him early in the morning, I could see his silhouette. It was about 6:45, something like that, but it was still dark. But I could see his silhouette in the scope, but I couldn't tell what end was his head and what end was his butt. So
get out. It was like the end with the antlers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell, and so later I looked at my game camera, saw that it was the big butt, because I was pretty sure it was him by the mass of the body. But when I saw it was him, I was like, "Oh, he's smart. He is very smart."
Well, they don't get old by being dumb.
Right.
And I got one. I had one little button buck in all the time. He will not last. He will not be when those antlers, when they're little spikes or whatever they are, or fours, whatever they're going to be next year. He will not survive the season because. He is not too bright. He is not too bright.
Yeah, well, we all start out that way.
Well, and you know what? At least we're not cold.
Yeah.
You know, even if we're not bright, we survive. Johnny, I think we're going to pull the plug soon. We're up to deer season. Next time we get together, what I really want to do is review the deer season.
Okay.
What happened this season? Because it was a really wacky season for me.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on, but we can speculate about all kinds of stuff. So.
And now the deer are out in full force.
yeah, right. They're what do you call it? They're running at every car there is. Did you see all the dead deer on the road?
Yes.
In the past month?
Well, I actually saw 10 deer on my way home last night, right across the street from your property.
Yeah.
10 deer just grazing them. They're like, oh, they're not putting corn out. It's time to eat the grass on the side of the road.
On the side of the road.
Yep, right in front of your property. I didn't see any horns, but
nope.
They should be losing their antlers pretty soon. pretty soon won't be.
Let me tell you something. It's crazy. I'm still acclimating to South Carolina hunting season and weather.
How long have you been here?
10 years.
Oh, yeah, it's been a little while.
10 years. Yeah, I'm still acclimating. You have multiple ruts?
Mm.
Have multiple ruts. We used to, up north, we had one rut. And it was Thanksgiving.
You know? My husband, we would walk through the woods over there and we're finding scrapes and rubs and like the scrapes in the ground, the huge ones with their, and I'm like, the rut's over, isn't it? He's like, no, it's still going. It's
no,
the
you guys have, we guys, down here, we have a couple of ruts. It's crazy. But, Angie, say goodbye to people. Goodbye people. All righty. You're listening to Frank on Target, and we have Airgun Angie with us here, and this is a feature. You're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM Red Brick Patriot Radio, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. And Angie, I thank you very much, and we're out of here.
Thank you, Frank.
Johnny boy, I gotta go home and feed the queen. She's under the weather.
We here at WVFF thank you for tuning in to Frank on Target, your source for straight talk on global politics and outdoor escapades and controversy. Until next time, stay on target with Frank. You're listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM.